This is a production of Cornell University.
Hey everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. As you may notice, there's been a slight programming change in regards to the location, but it's still back, so go ahead and take a seat wherever you want and grab your place. For those of you in the front, if you have questions or want to speak today, I'm going to try to just keep everything in order. We're just going to try and roll with things today. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. And just go ahead and do a roll call.
All right. Susan Mary. Chris.
Chris Barr.
Thank you, Adam. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris Barth. I am the IT Tech Transfer, which is Patents and Research Representative. I work at CIT. I've been at Cornell for 5 years in April, and I'm here to talk to you about the Cornell Campus Circulator System Resolution. Show of hands, how many people were able to at least skim through it when I sent it out this morning? Okay, that helps a lot because then I don't have to exactly read it all to you because it's all about it. This also could be a presentation that is described as one story from Chris's Magic Employee Assembly Adventure. So I'm going to tell you about how this whole, give you background for the first probably 5 minutes and then move on. So when I joined Employee Assembly, you learn a lot of interesting things. You get a lot of really good information and you find out how great of a place Cornell is for employees. Everybody has a different experience, and that's like the best part of being on the Employee Assembly. So when I moved here in 2015, I was told that Ithaca is number 8 of the most top 10 expensive places to raise a family. And I was like, wow, that's like a really interesting thing. Like New York City, Washington, D.C., and Ithaca. When I found that out, as I went through the Employee Assembly, HR presented this, which is from the Workforce Report, that shows that specifically, I would like to point out the red box in the bottom two lines is that 28% of the staff live outside of Tompkins County, and then 43% of the youth. That's an interesting thing because now we've got a lot of these people who are not really close because it's very expensive. And thinking about this sustainability-wise, it does get counted against us in our carbon footprint that let's commute back and forth between these things. So I was like, I've got this great idea. I'm going to tell the Board of Trustees that we should have employee-based housing on campus because it hits our sustainability goals, and this is what's going to happen. So through the assemblies, you are able to meet with the Board of Trustees and the Executive Committee through different opportunities, and they tell you, we're really here to talk about the 100 to 200 years in the future still. And I said, I got something, Cornell employee housing. And they said, whoa, that's too big in the future. I'm not really exactly sure that we want to talk about that. And I think that it is, speaking as them, it's not so much about getting to campus, it's about getting around campus. So it's a circulator thing. And that was sort of the first time I heard the word circulator, just trying to figure out what that means. For people who are interested in the housing side of the world, there has been initiatives last year in the staff and faculty, I think the very first newsletter of the brand new one that Joel Green created, when Maplewood was opening up, there were housing opportunities for leases for faculty and staff. Also, this handsome guy who is here, Craig Wiggers, representing last year's chair, he was a part of HowlCraft, leading Cornell, and one of his projects, and this is from the Cornell Sun, was identifying that housing is a challenge and getting people to move here is also a big challenge. So there is a website, LeadingCU2019, that has the results of Craig's work group of people. It's sort of like a mini employee assembly with more homework, I guess you would say. So that brings us to what is the circulator? Circulator is like a system of shuttle buses. It could be any kind of a thing that gets you from point to point in sort of a fixed area. It is supposed to be something that reduces transportation barriers. You can get on it and get off it. You don't have to pay for it. And it takes you to like the hot spots around campus. If you have been in the assembly and gone to different places, you'll know that the vet school has a term called down campus, which is like if you live in New York City, everything above Yonkers is upstate. Everything that's not the vet school is down campus. And so that's an example of a real challenge of if we have an employee assembly meeting even here in the middle of campus, people can't afford the 20 minutes back and forth just to get to here to be here for 15 minutes. What you learn, and I learned from Pilar, is that when you are going to write a resolution in the assemblies, you really need to do the work with the people who actually the resolution is going to land on. So it's not just make something up, hit send, the president approves it, and now someone has to go figure it out. Because there might be initiatives that are already in progress. There might be things that you don't know about. So I contacted Bridget Brady and Reed, who you'll hear from a little bit later, who are our transportation people, and said, I've heard about this thing called the campus circulator through my EA and UA travels. It is detailed in the 2008 campus master plan. It's in the athletics complex master plan. It's in our sustainability plan. It gets, you know, all around except it doesn't exist, and so why? And there's a bunch of different reasons for that. Who is it going to affect? It's going to affect everybody. This is talking about specifically our transit on campus, between campus. So it's not really coming from outside the county. It's what happens when we get here. A real world example of the challenges that people face are, I'm a building care or dining employee who has to leave my house in Elmira or Cortland at 5 a.m. so I can get to campus by 6 a.m. So I can get on a bus where I park my car in a lot, but it takes me a half an hour to get to where my actual job is. So we're asking people that have the least resources to do, you know, spend the most time getting here just to do their job. I also said, let's pay them while they're traveling. And they said, please go away, Chris. So what the circulator is trying to do, through the transportation study in 2019, the parking department decided and found out, compared to other universities and big places, we have enough parking for the employees. It's just not physically located close enough to hot areas that people want to park. And so parking garages are expensive. Parking lots are a little less expensive. But what we learned this year is that employee health and well-being is the number one most important thing. And by one less vote, parking and transportation, I would make the argument that employee health and well-being is directly affected by parking and transportation. Like being anxious about, if I get on the bus, is it going to be here on time? How do I get from this meeting to that meeting? And all the things that we have to do around that. What the resolution's goal is, A resolution is like a fancy request. I am not designing a transportation solution. I don't even want to actually be really involved in figuring out what buses, what tires, what kind of gas, electric. We've got professionals all around campus that are on different committees. We would be involved in helping make decisions, but this is outside of what my expertise is. So the resolution is really stating the fact of we have studied this. This has been a request. Everybody has agreed that this is something that will make campus life better. It reaches our sustainability goals, and it gets people ideally to places so that they can have a 1.0 experience instead of, you know, I am on the edge of campus. I work in Maple Avenue, but transportation department. So I'm lucky because I have Route 82, which is functionally like the biggest, closest thing you have to a circulator. It goes all around the perimeter, but if you ride the whole route, it's like a long ride. Like, it could be up to 40 minutes to stop. There have been other examples of improvement that TCAT has been doing. TCAT is a really important player and partner in this. Cornell did have its own shuttle bus system, I'm going to say like in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s for those that have been around, but it was Cornell operated and owned. At some risk to my own job, I think Cornell was not good at something. it just was not, you know, it's a whole other thing that you can have. So leaving that to like the professionals and leveraging the partnerships that we have with like CPAT and Gadabout and our partners is really a big thing about this resolution as opposed to just making something new. The reason I'm asking your support for this resolution is the project has already sort of got started a little bit, but it was because I threatened them that I was going to bring this resolution in a nice way. But it's something that is affecting everybody around campus. So through the University Assembly on the Campus Infrastructure Committee, we had passed this resolution and it had gotten to the UA the same way as it has right now here in the discussion at the TA. So then it gets tabled. And what I'm trying to do is garner support across all of the assemblies so that the GPSA, the Faculty Senate, the Student Assembly, the Employee Assembly, and the University Assembly can all say, hey, this is something that affects all of us. We would really like to see an improvement. And it is stating that over the next 5 years, things will be piloted and revised and improved. So how can it help? The resolution sort of states how it can help in through all the whereas clauses. I think the best thing is to just look at the abstract. So for the past 11 years, the Cornell campus circulator system of transportation has been under discussion as a way to improve access to many university functions and to address the continual challenges related to transportation and parking that Cornellians face every day. We propose that this project become a priority for Cornell and be realized within the next 5 years. And then it goes on to cite through and the discoveries through all of the years. And then I would say that on line 27 is sort of the big kicker. The need for the campus circulator was identified in the parking optimization study to reduce TCAT large bus traffic on campus. If you stand on East Avenue, which is outside of Day Hall, 24 TCAT buses routes come through there. So it's like we are in a downtown metropolitan bus station. And part of our sustainability goals and our core values point out that we need to afford and respect our natural areas on campus. So it's hard to see the trees when you're looking at a bus. And that happens very frequently and it's noticeable, including things like diesel pollution because they're idling. I will tell you that I've learned through Bridget and Veed and Heath that TCAT bought their last diesel buses that they'll ever buy. The next buses that they will be purchasing as the future goes will be electric. So that's something new that's happening this year. There's also a mention too about Vision Zero. So this was something that came out of Sweden in the 90s. It's trying to avoid traffic-based fatalities, colliding with pedestrians and bicycle people. 9 out of 10 people are killed when they get hit by a vehicle when they're driving 40 miles per hour. So that's also like an initiative that we might talk about is lowering the speed limit. And if it's 20 miles per hour, you got a really good chance to survive. Well, you know, 1 in 10 people are killed if you get hit by something that's driving 20 miles per hour. So how it can help? We're trying to only first-year students get free access to TCAT. The routes are confusing. There's an 81, there's an 82, and if actually you go to the TCAT website and you turn on where does this go? At any point in time, if I was just giving it a try because I was new and I was like, I'm going to get on a bus, I could end up in Trumansburg, I could be in Groton, and I really just wanted to go to the dining hall. And so trying to consolidate these routes into areas that make sense and are campus-centric. So looking at this map, and I'm going to make it bigger, this was the map from the 2008 campus circulator plan that they had. They used black lines to make it really difficult to see what was actually going on. But you can see that at the, this is one of those north is up. So here is North Campus where A-Lot and Pulse is. This is Core Campus where we are today. This is going out to East Hill Plaza, and then this is West Campus by like the Gothics and the slope, I guess you could say. When you take that and look at how, what they came up with in the 2018 to 19 parking optimization, very similar but expanded routes. One thing that they both show, here the orange circles are where 400 plus parking lot spaces are. And then here is the stars are things that are called hubs. And I get asked as soon as I explain that this is, I'm not designing things, they're like, what is this? What kind of buses are there? What is in the hub? Is it a coffee bar? What can we do there? Is there Wi-Fi? My answer to all that is I don't know. That is up for people to help craft the vision. So when you put these things side by side, you can see that they are very similar looking. But right now, I would say that the project conceptually is trying to figure out what we can do with existing resources. So it might be the rerouting of some of the buses that already are on campus. Route 10 got rerouted, and there's been a really positive response, but it's so popular on the reroute now that it fills up, as it goes two stops in a row. And so those are the kind of things and challenges that have to be practically addressed. This year, because of Maplewood Apartments, we got told from TCAT that they were going to change Route 82 and not really have the same kind of incoming to campus schedule. So everybody in CIC that are in our building, 250 people that have to come to campus, we were like, that is not optimal for us. And it was cool because TCAT listened and we reviewed all of their metrics and said, hey, maybe trying to save this one extra minute is overall harming the rest of the situation. So we, within about a week after we gave them the feedback, they were very responsive. So what does this look like? It could just be existing buses in the beginning. The thing in the middle is a fully autonomous vehicle that is at Texas Southern University. So you just hop on and it takes you around and it tells you where it's going. Unless we get like snow tires and like sled dogs, I'm not sure that we'll actually attain that yet. But it's really about how do we get from place to place on campus efficiently. I'm very sustainability minded. That was where I started with this whole idea. There are five clauses in the resolution that point out to sustainability. It's something that I think is very important that we keep in mind as things are being designed. And who is likely to do the work? The Cornell Transportation Department, Bridget and Reed, TCAT and affiliates, the Campus Planning Committee, which is a group of professionals. It's a UA-affiliated committee, and their job is to try to keep things in line with the master plan. We also have all sorts of different groups. This got passed through the Employee Welfare Committee by a vote of who was there, and everyone said yes. So that is why I'm here talking to you today. And that's the state that I'm trying to get it into across all of the assemblies so that once we get everybody's feedback about what is, what should or not be included, are there other ideas? Because somebody did point out from the student side, and I'm out of time, the Zone 1 transit all around the city of Ithaca, if we improve getting around campus, but then it comes at the expense of getting back and forth in and out of town, that would not be desirable for the students. So it's that kind of fine line and balance that we all need to work together on. And so hopefully with your support and all the assemblies, this will be discussed, debated, improved, amended, and then passed by the end of the session in May 2020. So thank you for your time, everybody, today. And you might hear a little bit more from Bridget and Reed on this topic.
So just to just a reminder, but resolutions do take 2 meetings to pass, so you have this period between the next meeting to ask us questions, review the resolution, recommend amendments, things like that. For the sake of time today, unless anybody has any pressing questions, I'd like to, first of all, thank you for your time. just like to kind of like to move on to Bridget Brady, Director of Criminal Transportation Services.
Can I have Reed come up as well? Let's see here. And I'll need this for the presentation. Do you have it on here? I don't want to kill the video though. So while we get started, I just want to thank Chris because I sometimes it's lost in translation that transportation is about interconnectivity, partnerships, and humans, right? It's not a car, it's a person driving the car. So I do really want to thank Chris for bringing these resolutions here to us and to you. It's been wonderful and very energizing. To be honest with you, you covered a lot of presentations. It might actually be really brief. Sure. I wasn't here in 2008. I know Reed and I could speculate what happened, but I do believe that much of the larger initiatives in the campus master plan were addressed.
So generally, you look at the master plan, it's kind of a 50 to 60 year vision for campus. And so it doesn't have, and I guess this could be a limitation of the plan, it doesn't have a program for this is going to get tackled at that point. This is the objective that needs to follow that one. So it was kind of as a concept, something to be pursued, but no timetable for that, no funding associated with it. So it just kind of got left and it's just been kind of simmering, I guess you could say.
So we've fashioned the presentation to address the update on the campus circulator. And so this is Chris's resolution. He is trying to bring together institutional resolve so that we all understand and we can support this. Now, his efforts are concurrent with the programs that we are already working on. It actually started about the same time, right after the parking optimization. And again, it's been wonderful. And so what we talk about when we talk about the support of a campus circulator, it actually translates into the recognition of the need for better intra-campus travel. So that is either via a circulator, bike and ped, some other alternate options, right? So it isn't necessarily just the circulator, but that is going to be one of the most visible and probably one of the most difficult to implement. It does require resources. At the beginning, though, I think we have enough TCAT resources to work within that system, and we'll talk about that partnership real quick. You did see this. The two maps that were presented by Chris are concepts, but this is largely what it would look like. A hub, the stars, truly where we converge, where do the circulators intersect, what are the amenities there. Now, this would require some infrastructure and funding that we currently don't have. However, if we have your support, the assembly support, sometimes that actually helps generate funding. No guarantees, but it has happened. So the partnership with TCAT. As Chris mentioned, we have had our own owned and operated system. We have one right now with Campus to Campus. It is very difficult, costly, and it would not then connect or integrate with the TCAT system. Many of our partners, our peers, have, for instance, Tiger Transit in Princeton, and it does not connect with the Princeton, the other systems. And so you can move around campus all you want, but you can't get off campus. And so very difficult to do. And it's very political. So we are very lucky that we have the consolidation with TCAT that we do. So again, we need to do that. Initial phases will resemble a pilot of rerouting existing services. So you will not see immediately branded, this is a Cornell shuttle bus. Now, hopefully we can rename some of those because, as Chris mentioned again, you don't know if you get on the 10 whether you're going to end up off campus or not. It's very, very confusing. So if the 82 becomes Cornell 1 or something specific, I think we could be more creative in how we name those. However, it would be nice if they were branded in some fashion. Again, talking about connectivity, if we throw that concept in the system and do not connect with the other routes off into the peripheral areas, we will create more issues. We will actually inconvenience and disrupt more lives than we would solve problems. And then TCAT is currently unable to resource new dedicated services, so we will need to use, and Cornell for that fact, we will need to use the existing services and see how we can reroute those. There is good news. I mean, I think this is all good news, but even more good news is TCAT is going through a transit development plan right now. And so they're hiring consultants to look at all of these things that we've been talking about. How do we optimize? How do we meet Cornell's needs? The county is really having struggling with bringing the county, those that live well out into the county, in as well, because it's sparse. It's really difficult to bring those large buses in full. And so this is what we're looking at. So their RFP actually listed part of the scope. It's much larger, but listed some of the issues that Cornell has asked for. And so, again, a wonderful partnership. Circular routes were actually mentioned specifically in the RFP. And so they know that whatever consultant comes in, this is something that they need to look at. Simplification, clarification, optimization, we talked about. Clear branding and route designation so you don't get lost or feel like you're going to get lost. And then the hubs. What other types of transportation modes can we bring into the area where a bus will arrive? I take a bus, I drive, I take a bus, and then I get on the bike. So that last mile, we can coordinate some of these in those hubs. So that is the update on the circulator. I also know that there was a desire to hear something about the update on progress for the transportation optimization study that we did. Largely around parking, but again, it's all connected. It's not just vehicles, it's people getting around campus and to campus. So the transportation optimization update, and what we had mentioned the last time we presented this, is there's going to be a lot of behind-the-scenes gathering of information and evaluation, so you're not going to see a lot of changes right now or proposals. And when there's something that we want to change, we will certainly come out to all of you and ask you, is this really what we needed? Did we get it right? So real-time communication of parking availability. And I'm going to say that this has really become an issue for us. And we planned so well for the North Campus disruption that we haven't really received too many complaints. It is uncomfortable, but parking is available. We really planned for that. We didn't understand, and we couldn't understand what North Campus would do as far as parking availability and where it would shift. It did shift to Central Campus to a great degree, actually, where we're finding Hoy Garage wasn't full, and now it is. It reaches peak often. Not a bad thing. We don't want empty parking facilities. And then the rest of the Central Campus parking lots are much the same. They've always been full. It's very difficult to find a parking space in Central Campus if you arrive past 9 o'clock. There isn't much we can do with that. But real-time communication of parking availability, if we have sensors in parking lots, where we got cameras or whatever it is that we use to communicate to the community, don't go to this parking lot. There aren't any spaces. So don't go circle through it. There's frustration. You're going to be late, and it's not safe. So we are working with CUPD to find out what types of video technology we can use to do this. So that is a collaboration. We want to see if we can use the same types of cameras for police needs and transportation needs. We talked about the intercampus shuttle. Further study for opportunities to simplify parking. We have lived this so much in this past half year since North Campus moved things around. It is difficult to understand patterns of parking when people can park so many different places with one permit. So we will need to simplify this. Again, when we have an idea, we will come to you all and ask, is this what will work for you? Many people, the system works for them. So we don't want to make a change that disrupts everybody and it solves a problem for a minority of folks. And then campus wayfinding plan. I don't know if we mentioned, I believe we mentioned it in the parking optimization. We are doing a pilot, so North Campus will receive a new wayfinding system. It starts with vehicular gateways down to the pedestrian. How do we get the pedestrians around? North Campus is quite a maze of buildings, and so we're happy. We're doing design right now. We're in design phase for that with a consultant. Develop contracts with Uber Lyft. We haven't really gotten into this very heavily. We are working with purchasing, though, on this one. So I'm going to turn it over to Reed to talk about safety initiatives. Do you have any questions about the two topics that I presented? The timeline for any of these items? The intercampus shuttle, we would hope to see some sort of pilot in a change in the summer. As far as studying opportunities to simplify parking, our folks are really collecting a ton of data right now as far as any large proposal for changes. Not anywhere near, it would take maybe 2 years. And we may have a few changes that wouldn't impact the entire system that we may propose maybe in the next half year, year. And the rest of it, one of them we are, the two of them we're already working on.
Let's say as far as the Uber Lyft, we're currently working with them on special events like commencement or any kind of, you know, homecomings, like that, to where they can and can't drive on campus, where they can and can't start or stop the pickups. So we're working on that. We'd like to get a more formal relationship with them about where it's appropriate in general to do those pickup and drop, you know, on East Avenue across from Carmen, not an appropriate place to do a drop off, but that takes a little bit more effort, and also to Bridget's point, we'd like to get engaged with them so that they can offer some, say, services, mobility services for, say, students after dark, which is what some universities do, or it's an emergency ride home for people that they have an issue with their car and they need to get home because they carpool. Those are other kind of things. It's hard to say exactly when that would happen, but like, you know, we'd like to see something available by the fall, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Great. So with regards to the circulator piece, has there been a financial feasibility study done? Is there now funding at this time? And what is the cost for the circulator route? Initially, is there a discussion about what the impact that could be to what Cornell funds as far as we get those if we're not asking them to come onto our campus, or we then no longer?
There's no intention to reduce the financial support for TCAP. We have not done the financial feasibility. That's part of the transit development plan that we're working on. Again, I can imagine at some point this will be, will cost more, and I would ask for Cornell to fund as much as they possibly. So it is.
So it is already subsidized. Right now it's a $600 pass. We pay $400 a student, pays $200.
That's the case
after the first year, right? First year students, including transfers or first year grad students, it's free for them. But then you can purchase this at a subsidized rate. We pay 67%, they pay 33%. That said, yes, I would like it to be free for the students. We've talked to with TCAT about that. They're looking into that with their consultant as well. I think it is something that's important. It really does remove a barrier to getting onto transit when you know I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about coming up with $200, or I don't have to worry about coming up with $1.50 to ride. People are much more willing to try it out.
I have seen those in other municipalities where, you know, you're waiting for a bus for 5-10 minutes, you could have actually walked to your destination 11 minutes or something like that.
I believe there is something on the maps, the pedestrian maps, part of the wayfinding plan that show walking times around campus. But certainly, kind of even being more intentional about it is important. Another city, you know, did you know that it's a 5-minute walk to the Capitol? So to Bay Hall or whatever it is, then you say, oh, well, because your perception might be, oh, it takes 15 minutes to get there. And in fact, it takes 7, but it just feels like that. So to have that reinforcement.
Following up on sort of the wellness question, you had mentioned, you know, some of the hubs that kind of get proximity and then there might be psychic the last time. And I'm all in favor of the wellness aspect of the the biking part of it, given our terrain and our weather, didn't seem to be very practical. I think there's a lot of evidence of
And that is just one option. That you actually put in the menu or the list of options. And so bicycling isn't necessarily the easiest way to get around. However, we have quite the population that does it, and so it would be a choice. Absolutely. Not recognizing that would be one of the best solutions.
And then, I'm sorry, the only other question I have, you mentioned that the campus was a
I apologize if I misspoke. It isn't necessarily that it's expensive. It is just very difficult to own and operate an enterprise like that. Logistically, it is financially feasible.
The snow in the Poconos right now.
Absolutely right. We'll have to cancel. We may have to cancel something on Saturday because it's snowing in the Poconos, not here or New York City. So we prefer not to do that.
Just a couple quick questions. I do remember the time when we had all the service to transit and take back lunch. Blue light is still free, are they not?
I don't have the answer to that.
Blue light for the summer. I haven't been on in a long time, I believe that that was a free service for all. What else? Students, that's just a question.
I couldn't speak appropriately to it. I know it's a service that was provided by CUPD.
It's a 91-93 and 92 bus. So I'll check that out. I think that's a great service.
It is evening and weekends, and that is actually free to all students.
So have you talked about expanding that?
At this point, that hasn't been part of the conversation, but we can certainly take that to the table.
Okay. Yeah, to the special events question or comment, that's certainly something, as Bridget mentioned, we had more parking availability in the past. Even when we did this parking study last year, there was quite a bit of availability in central campus and, say, the upper levels of the Hoyt Rush. That helps when we have special events. We can kind of manage, we can absorb some of those impacts. We're finding now, I don't know whether it's just general growth of the campus, or losing parking to the North Campus, those sorts of things, we don't have that extra capacity. And it is becoming much more impactful to the everyday parkers. So to your point, the vet school had a conference in the fall, and it coincidentally happened on the same day or same weekend as homecoming. They asked their participants to park off campus. They hired a shuttle to bring them in. We took a slightly different approach for move-in, which was asking employees to park remotely, some employees park remotely and come in with the kind of the understanding that employees or people that generally come to campus have a better understanding of how to get around Ithaca and Cornell than a first-time visitor, especially if this is a family of a first-year student. So it seemed like an easier ask of the employees than it did of the people coming in. That's certainly something that we're evaluating. That was our first time doing it. The way we did it for move-in August, it went better than I expected, but there was a lot of bumps associated with it. And I think certainly, regardless of what we do, we need to be better about communicating it ahead of time, because we don't want people to come where they normally park and they show up that day and it's not available because it's closed for an event. We want them to take that into account before they come to campus. Maybe they can work remotely. If they can't, maybe they have to show up a few minutes earlier than they normally do, or, oh, that's right, I can't park in Alumni Field, but I can park over Crescent Lot or something like that, just to change that instead of getting to the place and having that be an intense frustration or stress at that moment.
We will limit the major disruptions to the very large events, right, so that we won't displace, or we'll try very hard not to displace during the smaller events. And the team is really looking at how do we address this. And so there is a lot of conversation on the back end. Just so you know, we haven't forgotten about this. It's probably one of the greater stressors with the changes.
And I want to real quick give it to your other point about the circulator. It's hard to say who the priority will be. I think just having something available to all users is important. You're correct. The employees do seem like they're getting pushed to the perimeter more. It's kind of the nature of the campus as we are that is fairly built out, but any available building space for new buildings is a parking lot that's pretty flat. They're not used for other things besides just parking. So if we can then displace those people and put them on the perimeter, that works from a building site. It doesn't really work for the employee that was using that parking lot because it's adjacent to where they work. So our hope is that if we can shorten that distance because we provide a circulator that's easy to understand, that's fast, that gets them from the lot now into central campus, that helps make that a more palatable displacement. And then to ask then visitors to say, hey, if you're coming to campus, you can park in these other areas, but take the 82 or the 20 or the 56 or the 17. That's really hard to communicate, but if we can tell them, you can hop on the Cornell Red Shuttle, and they'll take you to the visitor center. So again, I don't know how to prioritize.
So part of the transportation and transit development plan will be a tremendous amount of outreach. We need to know what's working. So yes, we need to do the comments. I'm going to ask Reed to move forward with the safety initiatives, and we'll be available offline if you have any questions about that.
Chris mentioned this, alluded to this in his resolution, but one of the important parts of the circulator or of kind of removing cars from central campus, or not totally removing them, but limiting the options of driving in central campus, is the safety benefits that come with that. And so I'm not sure, I've presented this to different groups, I'm sure some people have heard about it, but who here is familiar with Vision Zero? Okay, so yeah, smattering. So Vision Zero is a concept that came out of Sweden in the 90s, and it's the idea that we want to reduce the number of traffic fatalities, traffic-related fatalities, to zero. And when we say fatalities, we're referring to also to serious injuries, because I don't think that having a debilitating injury from a car crash or from traffic crash is much better than death, right? You know, if somebody is severely injured by that. So the idea is to reduce that down, that no level of traffic violence or traffic injury is acceptable for an area. So this, as the map on the left, it's not really important necessarily that where these exist, but that a number of cities have adopted a Vision Zero policy or have kind of joined this Vision Zero network. Cornell, from what we understand, there's no universities that have done that yet. So we would like to do this. We'd like to join this, but we recognize that since it's mainly municipalities, that it makes sense for us to partner with the city on this. And so Eric Hathaway is a city engineer, traffic engineer, has been leading this effort, and I'll mention a little bit more about the team he's put together. But I want to point out on the right was an article that just came out last week. Oslo has essentially achieved Vision Zero. So this is possible. Oslo is about the size of Portland, Oregon, or about the D.C., Washington, D.C., not the whole Washington, D.C. area, but the city itself, the same population as Oslo, and Oslo last year had zero cycling or pedestrian-related fatalities. They had one driver fatality where a driver drove into like a fence, but it was one for this entire city, and it's remarkable. They've done a number of things, limiting the cars that have come into their central area, lowered speed limits, and I'll get to that in a second, but it is achievable, and it's something that we think is a valiant goal. So this is a very sobering statistic. This is from 2015, but these numbers change a little bit, but generally the trend holds true. The black boxes there are motor vehicle traffic crashes as a cause of death. So these are different age groups. So you can see across the top, under one, all the way up to elderly 65. But what I've got there highlighted in the middle is 8 through 24, motor vehicle traffic crashes are the number one leading cause of death for people of that age. So if you look at that from our campus population, falls right in there in that kind of 16 to 24 range. A lot of our students are there. But even as you get into employees, it still is an important component of it. So this is pretty staggering. And so this is looking at this more from a public health component to
this is a, almost an epidemic, right? That we need to address some of the causes of this injury and death. So one of the big components of this, and Chris brought up these numbers earlier, but speed is such a critical part of traffic safety. So both from the ability to avoid a crash to the survivability of that crash. So if a pedestrian is hit by a vehicle traveling at 20 miles an hour, you have a 90% chance of survival, and at 40 miles an hour, that the inverse of that is a 10% chance of survival. So when you look at campus for the most part is 30 mile per hour streets, and a lot of that's limited by state law. State law says we can't say this whole district is going to be 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour. We can only say the district is 30 miles an hour. We can individually sign streets at 25 miles per hour. But as you can see, like, you know, it's still in that range of it's a pretty fast speed. So you're looking at 30, which is the default for campus. It's a 50-50 chance of survival. So we're working with our folks in Albany. Eric, that I mentioned from the city, he's going around meeting with metropolitan planning organizations to try and spread this message, trying to get support behind changing state law to allow for slower speed limits. There's a local legislation for the city of New York that says that, you know, basically it's any city with a population of 1 million or more, so it probably only applies to New York City, that they are allowed to do that, to district-wide put a speed limit of 25 miles an hour and to individually sign streets at 20. We'd like to get at least to that point. So that's one of the things going on.
So real quick, I want to ask, I don't need to show hands, you can just think about it. Do you obey the speed limit signs near school? They are 15 to 20 miles per hour. I mean, this is very slow. However, this has really changed my thought on, you know, it is really important that I go slow. There's no reason to go even 5 miles to avoid a ticket, right? This is to avoid hitting. It's really changed my mindset on how fast I go in certain areas.
So part of this is kind of creating a leadership team for this. This is the team that Eric has put together. A bunch of people from Cornell there in the middle, but it's a broad range of backgrounds. So there's statistics, there's public health, there's urban planning and behavioral experience. And so these people all come at this with a different approach, but with the same goal then of how do we get this, how do we reduce this, the traffic violence, this, the traffic injuries and deaths to zero. And so I think this is wonderful. Cornell obviously has incredible people here, very smart, that are problem-solving people. So I think this is great to have this kind of team together to make an impact here. Another portion of Vision Zero is kind of education campaign. So this is something that we'll probably come back to you at some point about, is helping launch and support an education campaign. These are some from around the country. But it's education for drivers. It's also education for pedestrians and cyclists, how to be a safe road user.
So currently, the collaboration with UPD and transportation, but we most definitely need to include assemblies of students. So we will be coming back with an ask.
And that's what we have. I know we've taken quite a bit of time up, but happy to, if there's not time for now, for questions. So again, offline, afterwards, email, whatever, switch out.
For the sake of time, we're going to have to move on, but if you have some questions, you know your contact offline. Thank you both so much for your presentation and all your work. So moving right along, as you all know, or most of you do by now, Ann Tuesday has moved on from the PA and the chair position. So that's the vacancy. So really, I think we've kept through a lot of the process and the fact that we want to pick up this position. We'll have support from other members. And so just at this time, I'd like to open the floor for nominations. And I'll go ahead. First, I'd like to nominate Brian Goodell for second by Karen. Are there any other nominations? I have a question. Please.
So, like correction is not PRC that comes to the end, but at this point, we just need volunteers. So, we would love to be a sponsor people and be recognized for that, but even if we can't find space from the VA, anybody interested in volunteering that day, especially during the actual report, we can bring it to the patient. So, if we can make a table for VA, yes. if we can, at this point.
So we know we need a floor, but it would be great.
Because if we can make a whole EA table, I would make us a
Well, please sign up. It sounds like it's for people right now, but
yeah, so if you can, if you can come in for 1 hour, you can just keep your line.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so if you can come in for 1 hour,
is Marcy here? Oh, yes, she's online. Marcy?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Yep, nothing to report from the education committee. We had I hope to get a meeting next week, but nothing new. Also, I'm having a hard time hearing, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. and the shelter to be around smoking cessation programs, Cornell health benefits, to support smoking cessation, and have advanced a brief conversation around that with the listening people on and support others. We also had Michelle Erdeby share more about the care plan and is advancing and asking for our participation in some initiatives to enhance that program and bring back some of the funding. Currently, the winter was pretty tough for a lot of staff and it kept suppliers asked to save the funds. So that's coming. And then we spent time with Bridget discussing the circulator, but also some of the pedestrian safety initiatives. And I'll be excited to come back with that one.
Questions? Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. But
it sounds like people can't hear, so if reports could be made in the microphone, that might be helpful.
Okay.
That is being amplified through the suggestion.
Well, Brian, do you have a report?
The meeting on February 14th was canceled due to we didn't have a chair.
Yes.
And but the last meeting we had was on we updated at the EA at the 18th candidates breakouts. So you can go to the results and find out what we're doing last night.
All right.
Yeah.
So as we
kind of
spoken about before, in our next EA meeting, President Paul is very often present and chairs will go through their reports. We also have some additional presentations on March 4th. Paul Streeter is going to present on the budget. I've also asked him to talk a little bit about the endowment. I know that in the past you were questions before about the endowment, how it's doing. I know there have been reports that it's doing well this summer, but still the payout has been decreasing for the past 3 years. So he'll go over that. Another presentation that I'm going to have is from the DCCC trustee candidates for the performance debate on Wall Street East. And I know that the last time that we spoke, we went over the priorities as a whole and sharing the data. You know, after that, we received some requests to share the data and, you know, this is data support the work that individuals are doing. So the executive has met and we did agree that as appropriate, if you do want to share the data from the priorities poll, from the executive committee, we'll be requested. And I think what we're really hoping to do right now is to ensure that we request to share the data are appropriate and that we have good understanding of how this information will be used moving forward to help on the partnerships that we're trying to build. So that's pretty much it for us. Now, I know that we're working with different units on the
situation today was kind of a last-minute organizational change that we're going to definitely focus on, for especially President Paul's meeting with us, but future meetings that he AV needs to be a priority, especially since we have many people. So that, we're going to focus in on addressing that for sure. Jessica, you want to step in for
sure. All right, so the Elections Committee, I'm trying to set up some meetings in February so we can get a head start on spring elections. So if you're on the committee, please fill out the doodle poll. I will be scheduling meetings this Friday afternoon. I'll sit down and do it. So your input would be helpful. I did update the membership spreadsheet in Box because it hadn't been updated with some of our new members. So hopefully I've got everyone in there correctly. And I think, do I want to say anything about what you and I are working on?
Jessica and I are working together on a resolution to essentially add a Cornell Tech membership seat to the EA before that. So,
yep.
Right. I thought that was, I like that suggestion. We have someone representing under five, why not someone over a certain number?
I can say, and I'm sorry, I can say that that was an initiative that I know Anne was very interested in. I think it merits a lot of discussion. So if all is there to be picked up on, but if somebody else would like to take on that initiative, I think it's a good one.
Not raising my hand to take on the
initiative.
I didn't want to ask about Anne's seat on the EA.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we have two empty seats. We were down to one. Now we have two empty seats. I don't off the top of my head remember when her seat expired. Well, it must be, yeah, so it'll have to be, it'll be up for election this spring. I don't think
at this point, so. Since we are at a level where we're getting into, and we need that discussion, but since we're getting into the period where we're going to have to focus on spring elections, we'll be incidental elections, in the meantime may not be sufficient, but yeah. We can talk about it if there are some parties a few months away.
Thank you for the reminder, Kate, about that 15 years.
Okay. We have a few minutes for open discussion. I guess one of the things is I just want to reiterate for some colleagues that our next meeting is the 5th. There's a bit of a larger gap between our next meeting and the gap for next. So just keep that in mind. Again, it's a great opportunity with President Paul and his family, Grandma Community Chairs, to give reports, and I know that she very much appreciates hearing from all of you and the initiatives that are being worked on. There are a lot of initiatives being worked on. Same thing with spring elections, which would be a big deal. We have so many seats filled. We would be good to have a robust amount of participation in the spring, so consider it. I hope there are people who coming on them to promote those elections and make it going. But other than that, so that's really all I had. Does anybody have anything that they would like to discuss? Or Gary?
I just forgot to say, the number, I'm going to send out an email. So if people are
just on the topic of elections, Hey mentioned the CCP, the new committee from the Board of Trustees for constituent elected trustees. It's the way candidates will be identified and the outreach to the whole community is much different, and that was intentional. So you'll be hearing a lot about how to run, how to encourage your teammates to run, there'll be presentations made to the assembly to try and engage you all to compare those messages back to your constituents. So each constituent group this spring will allow you to be first. So it's a very exciting time for that level of governance.
You were talking about Cornell Tech.
Going forward, that's a great issue to take up and even as a resolution issue. You know, I think it's in a modern workplace, fully developed, it's something that we're done online. So, yeah, I mean, the strategy and research and finding the contacts we can do do that, but I think that it merits a lot of discussion. That's a good question.
Brandon, did you, in regards to that question, one topic that may be worth looking at in the education committee is the recent application of Pete Cornell as a Cornell own entity as opposed to a private entity. So now Cornell University runs the Pete Cornell, which runs not for credit, but certification courses in a variety of different education credits. There hasn't been any announcement about whether that means that those become available to Cornell faculty and staff as part of their ability to take credit hours. So that might be something to discuss with Cornell.
Still at a discount.
It is a significant discount.
Very big
discount. With the, you know, the acquisition, it may be feasible that that becomes one of the options for direct staff to take credit hours. Not credit and carry hours, but for keep credit.
We can also see if there's a committee finalist committee to take it up and look at how to move forward. Anything else? There's been a request to the executive committee to do it that way. We didn't do it that way this past fall, so I have no problem with just, I mean, obviously there's a limited amount of time. I encourage everybody to get questions, get it succinctly in, because she's only there for part of the meeting, but I don't believe we need to just pre-submit that. Please feel free to ask your questions during the meeting. It's an open back and forth period after the committee reports. Karen.
So that the president isn't coming to make a presentation at all. She's hearing from the assembly about the things that are very important to all sorts of things. Discussing. And she found that so engaging and so worthwhile, and it prompted a very fresh conversation about the things that were being important. So that was a model that has sort of been promoted, and the president appreciates it, engages, and gives the opportunity for the city chair to do the presentation. But it sort of it changed the way things had been done.
Right, and that is the plan. And
I can say that, at least from my plan, my understanding is we will do what we did in the fall. There will be the committee reports in a number of few minutes of open time for questions with regards to, you know, if a lot of people have a lot of questions and we want to coordinate. Gary, if you want to coordinate the prioritizing them or whatever, I'm fine with that. I don't, you know, pre-submit anything. Just you have this opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity to use it as quickly as possible. So. Well, as of then, we're out of time. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Andrew, second for Tony. All right, thank you, everybody.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.